The Jewish Passover was near, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and money changers sitting at tables. He made a whip of cords and drove everyone out of the temple courts, along with the sheep and oxen. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those selling doves, he said, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews responded, "What sign are you going to show us to prove you can do these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." The Jews said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days." But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. When Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. Then they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said. The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As you were listening to the three sections from the Bible that you heard in this service, what connection did you see among those three portions of God's Word? Well, in the first one, you heard the Ten Commandments, which is a good summary of God's moral will, his law for all people of all time. And then, when you go ahead to the Gospel, the story of Jesus in the temple, you see at least two of those commandments being violated vividly. There's the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day, and wrapped up in that commandment is God's will for us to worship him with all of our hearts and all of our minds. And what do you see happening in the temple? You see worship that is weak and divided. There's also the seventh commandment that says not to steal. And wrapped up in that commandment is God's will for us to be content and not greedy. And when you go forward to the Gospel, what do you see happening in the temple? Money has become very big in the temple. In fact, it has become the main thing. So first, you see God's commandments, and then you see them being broken in the temple, and you also see the result of God's commandments being broken is that it makes the Son of God angry, violently angry, when those commandments are broken. And then, in the other lesson you heard from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, you see a second result of that sin. When people sin, God is angered. That's one result. Another result is that the minds of those sinners collapse. The human mind falls in sin. And then it does this very ironic and dangerous thing. The human mind that has fallen in sin actually becomes so arrogant and so silly that it tries to raise itself up over the mind of God. So the mind has fallen in sin, and yet it proudly says, "I'm smarter than God. My knowledge, my wisdom is over God's knowledge and his wisdom." So God in his wisdom gives us the gospel, the cross of Christ for our salvation. And the mind that has fallen in sin says, "That's nonsense. The gospel of Christ is foolishness. It's moronic." And you see that in action when you go back to the gospel. Jesus is the Son of God. Of course, Jesus has the authority as the Son of God to cleanse the temple, to drive out that impure worship and that greed. But, there are unbelievers. There are fallen, sinful minds in that temple, and they're smarter than the Son of God, they think. They ain't no better than Jesus, they think. So they challenge Jesus to prove his authority with some kind of amazing sign. And what you see in the gospel also is that God is not interested in playing that kind of game with fallen, sinful minds. He's not interested in proving himself with fireworks to sinful, unbelieving minds, minds that would not believe even if he did provide such a sign. Now, it's important for us to see not just how those three sections of Scripture connect to each other, but also how do these sections of Scripture connect to you and me. Because those Ten Commandments, that is God's moral law. That is his will for all people of all time, including you and me. And we have also broken God's commandments, and we have also angered God with our sin. And just to go back to the two main sins that you see in today's gospel, there is a weak and divided worship that breaks the third commandment. We're guilty of that too. When we're here, if we're here, there's always part of us that would rather be somewhere else, doing something else, you know, something useful, something productive with our time. There's always part of us when the Word of God is being read or preached that is just bored to death, just wishes it was over 10 minutes ago. So you don't have to actually set up money-changing tables inside the sanctuary to offer God corrupted worship. We do it too, and it angers God. The other main sin that you see in the gospel is greed. Just placing too much value, too much importance on money. And we're guilty of that too, at least to some extent. We fall for the lie sometimes that the measure of a person's existence is their possessions, their wealth, and that angers God too. Now, we are not unbelievers like those men in the temple who challenged Jesus for a sign, who challenged his authority, but that sin, that also corrupts our minds. We have this sinful nature too that wants to raise our own intelligence, our own wisdom over the knowledge and the wisdom of God, that sees the gospel of Jesus as a silly answer for sin, if there is even such a thing as sin. And even believers, because of our sin, we have this tendency. It's crazy, but we do it. We say to God, show me a sign. Like we challenge God to prove himself sometimes. Like, if you want me to accept your authority, if you want me to believe what you're telling me, God, you have to show me something down here. Now, what does our Savior Jesus think? How does his mind work? And what does he do with God's commandments? The Jewish Passover was near, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus keeps God's commandments. He goes up to the temple to worship at the time of the Passover, and he does it with perfect zeal, desire, and enthusiasm to worship his heavenly Father. And in Jesus Christ, there is no trace of greed at all. The Bible tells us that the Son of God is so not greedy that he surrendered all the wealth, all the riches of heaven to come down into the poverty of this world. It says, though he was rich, he made himself poor. And why did he do that? Why did Jesus become poor in this world and come down to keep those commandments? It was the first part of God's plan to save us. And in the temple that day, Jesus tells us the rest. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. That was Jesus' answer to the unbelieving demand for a sign to prove his authority. Already at this early stage in Jesus' ministry, he understands why he has come. It is to live that holy life in our place and then to have the holy temple of his body torn down, destroyed by his enemies for the forgiveness of our sins, only to raise it up again 3 days later. That's God's wisdom. That's the gospel, the message of salvation in Christ. St. Paul calls it the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Jesus' death and resurrection, there is God's power, there is his wisdom to save us from our sins. And as always, because God loves us, he uses his power, he uses his wisdom for the good of us sinners. He uses that gospel, that message of salvation, to change our fallen minds. Indeed, since the world through its wisdom did not know God, God in his wisdom decided to save those who believe through the foolishness of the preached message. God reaches out to sinners with that message of salvation in Christ. That's his wisdom. That's his power. And the Holy Spirit uses it to flip our hearts, to change our minds, to see the message of Christ's gospel not as weakness, but as divine power. To see it no longer as foolishness, but to see it as divine wisdom. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The disciples' minds had already been changed to faith in Christ. And so when Christ made that prediction of his death and resurrection, they did not mock it as foolishness the way Jesus' enemies did. Now, St. John admits they did not totally understand it at this moment, but they would after Jesus rose from the dead, because the Holy Spirit had changed their minds to faith. When the Spirit changes our minds to faith, we also accept God's wisdom. We accept what he says. Some of God's wisdom he has laid out for us, including everything we need to be saved. He has laid out for us in his word. Much of it stays hidden, concealed in the mind of God. But when God speaks, the mind that has been changed says, that is wisdom. That is divine power. And God also changes our minds in this other way too. He changes our minds to agree with, to live by, even to love those commandments that he has given us. When God changes your mind to faith in Christ, and then he says, worship me with all your heart, the mind that has been changed to faith says, yes, of course I want to do that. Of course I want to offer God my praise and receive his grace and worship. Your mind has been changed, and God says, don't be greedy. Your mind says, of course I don't want to be greedy. Of course I can be content. I have my Savior Jesus. I have God's promise that he's going to give me everything I need in this world. You see, the changed mind knows that God loves us. He doesn't give us these commandments to depress us and deprive us. He gives us these commandments to make our lives better, blessed, happier. Life is better. It's more blessed when you worship God and receive his grace. It's better to live a life without greed. It really is more blessed, better to give than to receive. And God changes our mind this way too, to live by and love his commandments that he has given for our good. And so, to our God who changes our minds, we pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for changing our minds to see salvation in you, to see God's word as true wisdom, and to see his commandments as good and good for us. This is your work through the gospel to change us. It is your grace. For this change, we glorify you now and will glorify you face to face. Amen.